Well, tonight we celebrate the feast of St. Felix of Valois, who's quite an unusual saint. St. Felix was simply a hermit in the 13th century, and he had all the plans in the world to simply die in his old age in the forest in France. He prayed, fasted for the life of the world, for the life of the church, in union with the merits of Christ. And he was hoping to see the face of God in his ascetical struggle, or at the end of his ascetical struggle. But quite an extraordinary thing happened. Quite late towards the end of his life, God used the Blessed Virgin Mary to come to invite him in the forest in France to begin an order, and one of the most exciting orders in the history of the Church. And this was one of the two orders founded for the redemption of Christians who've been conquered by Muslims. You know, the old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Well, this was the 13th century, and it's quite an extraordinary invitation that he received from the Blessed Virgin Mary, because this order, the Trinitarians, combined with the Mercedarians, over the next 600 years, would give their own lives in exchange for 1 million Christians. 1 million Christians. Now, we hear the line that Jesus says, right? He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to offer his life as a ransom for many. That word ransom is very, very powerful, because what it means is it actually costs something to redeem something else or to redeem another person. And so they realized this in the 13th century, that many Muslims, after they had captured off the Barbary coast or in Africa or in Spain, after they had kidnapped hundreds and thousands of Christian men and women and children, they would actually let these innocent men, women, and children, be exchanged for priests and brothers. And so St. Felix of Valois, in the Trinitarians as well as the Mercedarians, a different order, but with the same goal, began to offer their lives to the Muslims to say, okay, you give back 5 men, 5 women, 5 children, and you can have a priest. And they would make this exchange. And the priest would go live as a slave, just as we know Jesus lived as a slave. In other words, could there be any greater way of loving our fellow Christians, of laying down our life? Jesus said, greater love no man has in this than to lay down his life for his friends. Now, Christianity is set up in a very interesting way that it seems that God has made it so that we always win. Here's what I mean by that. If a saint is very successful in evangelization and converts a lot of people, then he has doubled the souls for the kingdom of heaven. If that saint is preaching and those people kill him and he becomes a martyr, he triples the souls for heaven. So God has linked salvation to the cross, not only the cross of Christ the head, but the cross of the mystical body. And so what we're left with as Christians is this tremendous reality that when we're successful, God doubles the souls. And when we're unsuccessful and we suffer and die, God triples or quadruples the souls for his kingdom. This is very unusual if you simply look at it from a point of view of world religions. But it's like C.S. Lewis said. He said, religion is man's search for God. Christianity is God's search for man. I always say that to people whenever they're very relativistic about religion. They're like, well, it's good that you're Christian. That's good that you're Catholic. I'm glad it works for you. And I frequently say to them that line from C.S. Lewis. Religion is man's search for God. Christianity is God's search for man. Well, when we win, we win. When we lose, we win double. We're going to talk about that it's not just a trick to get us to suffer, but how this is linked to the very Blessed Trinity himself. Now, as we know, there's a lot of problems between, Islam has come out in a tremendously violent attack against Christianity in a new way, even though this has been the case for 1,400 years. We see that the face of radical Islam is simply Islam itself, with the desire to destroy and kill and rape. Now, I was watching the news the other day, And, you know, CNN takes kind of a wimpy view and Fox News takes kind of the tough guy view. And watching Fox News, as they're kind of inciting the West to fight hard against Islam, I think I realized watching that, that's not going to get ISIS to back down. In fact, they too are going to see this as this invitation to greater violence. Why is that? Well, it hit me that as Christianity has a win-win situation, so in the mind of a Muslim, Islam is win-win. And here's what I mean by that. For a Muslim who kills Christians, that is fulfilling the Quran. Sorry if people don't like it. That's the reality. It's in the Quran. For the Muslim who fails at killing Christians, who gets killed, he thinks that he's assured heaven and dozens of virgins. So in his mind, he wins there. So he wins if he wins the war, and he wins double if he loses the war. Now we know that the judgment that awaits him is probably not going to be what he thought it was. We know that. But I was a little bit stuck with this. So Christianity's win-win, and Islam, at least putatively in their mind, is win-win. Ah, but this reveals the difference between Christianity and Islam, and it's this. If you look at the win-win of Christianity, both of them come from the outpouring and full gift of self. Islam, the win-win situation, is one based on selfishness, deceit, and domination. And what we have at the end of the day in a study of world religions is this, that these two philosophies reflect two very different views of God. The win-win of Christianity, of either you teach or you're a martyr, means that you're constantly pouring yourself out in supernatural love and supernatural charity. Well, guess what the definition of the Blessed Trinity is? The eternal outpouring of the Father, giving himself eternally to the Son receiving this love, and that love existing between the two is the Holy Spirit. And so when the Christian dies a good teacher or dies as a martyr, his soul is, maybe we could say, already in the shape of the Trinity, already in this eternal outpouring of love, completely ready to enter into the triune eternal outpouring of God. This is heaven. But in Islam, even though it seems to be a win-win situation, what we're talking about is someone winning either with deceit or death in a relationship of rebellion, in a relationship that can be characterized as master-slave. Well, I'm sorry to say it, but that's Satan. That's Satan right there. And so we're not talking about Europeans with white skin getting ready for heaven and Arabs with dark skin getting ready for hell or something like that. We're talking about getting ready to live your entire life with God in an eternal outpouring of charity, which is open to people of all races, or we're talking about living in a relationship of master-slave, deceit, and death, which is hell. And so this is why these religions matter so much. We're preparing ourselves for either heaven or hell by what religion we're in. So this is where we have to pray that the world become Christian. It's not just at the end of the game, oh, I followed my conscience, you have to let me into heaven. It doesn't work like that. We're either being shaped as an eternal outpouring of love, which is the same life of the Blessed Trinity, which is Christianity, or we're being deceived to live a life of a slave, of a master, of deceit, of death, and of war, which is Islam, which is Satanism. Let us pray for our brothers and sisters in the Middle East to stay strong in their love of the Blessed Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.